Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we discover one another together. As you listen to me, I listen to you. We create one another. And somehow, in our shared loneliness, we become less lonely. The Story of Pinocchio by Hardy White. Once upon a time in Italy lived a man named Geppetto. Geppetto is the Italian version of the English name Geppet, and he was a carpenter who made many things: shoes, dolls, puppets, mannequins, and the occasional love doll for royalty. But he was also very lonely. "I'm very lonely," said Geppetto. "Even though I am an accomplished maker of wooden things, I find myself sitting here in isolation, wondering what it would be like to have a close relationship with another human being." One day, his friend Luigi was visiting, and he shared this with Luigi.
"So you're saying that you're lonely, is that it, Geppetto?" said Luigi.
"Yes, I'm lonely and I want a child."
"Is it really the right thing to bring a child into the world like this?"
said his friend Luigi. "Well, I mean, I'm lonely and people have children and all."
"So you're lonely. Lord God, have you heard of the Humane Society? Just get a dog, man. You don't need to be... Besides, you're a single older person, and you've got a lot of duties, like shoe duties and all your doll duties."
"Yes, this is true," said Geppetto. "But I would maybe like to make a child."
"Okay, now you're crossing into territory that is foreign to me. This seems like insanity," said Luigi.
"No, I was going to make a puppet child."
"All right. Well, I don't know how healthy that is, but I guess that's better than messing around with human life, you know."
"Yes, but I was also going to see if I couldn't take this puppet and somehow animate it, make it sentient."
"All right. Is that part of carpentry? Or how is that done exactly? Because I have some dolls and I have some chairs. And I was wondering what prevents them from getting up and dancing."
"Well," said Geppetto, "I don't exactly know. But I think that if I make a puppet that's realistic enough, then maybe there'll be some sort of like insect wizard or that could transform him." The pause in real life was an hour long. Finally, Luigi spoke.
"Now, it's what has stunned me into silence was insect wizard. So this is something I'm not familiar with, and my world is very limited, granted. I'm Luigi. I'm a plumber. So you're going to make a puppet. You're going to make a wish to the insect deity, and then it's going to make the child sentient, animated, walk around, be your friend. You're going to raise it from there."
"Yes," said Geppetto. "That's really the plan. And, first, I've got to sort of do some remodeling and everything. And the house is not ready for a child. So it isn't like I'm not going to start immediately. Now is the time to start the planning. The remodeling, like I said, doing some childproofing. I don't know exactly how old the child I make is going to be," said Geppetto. "That's probably something that is decided. I think the wood will speak to me. You know when you're carving and you just say, you're carving and you're carving and you think, just remove everything that isn't a child. And then it reveals itself to you.
I'm gonna, Geppetto, I'm gonna step out. I got some stuff to do. I love talking to you. I always love visiting. I love seeing your workshop, all the shoes and puppets and love dolls for nobility. But I'm just gonna, if my vote counts, I'm just say, don't do it. Get a dog, not like a whippet, but a, you know, something that's gonna be, I'll send you some. My son-in-law has a beautiful dog, and I don't know what it's called. I think it's a bunch of breeds mixed together. But you'll notice about this dog is that it won't get into any trouble. I'm not prophesizing. I'm just saying that my dog is not going to be lured by gambling and cigars into growing donkey ears. So heads up. I love you, and you know I support everything you do, Geppetto. And I'll be there for you and the baby, no matter what happens. So I know that some kind of wood carving, that chisel slips, all of a sudden you're a dad. So good luck to you. With that, Luigi left and never came back to visit his friend Geppetto, who had scared him by displaying some symptoms of what was then in ancient Italy considered mental illness, and that was the idea that a little wooden boy with strings coming out of all of his joints and the top of his head and everything could possibly be alive. And when Luigi was walking home, he was thinking about it, and he had this terrible vision of a marionette puppet that was made sentient, but then the strings were also sort of like organic and stayed attached to it, like veins or raw nerves that led up to this cross of bone that the puppet would have to walk around with. So in many ways, Luigi was traumatized by this encounter. Weeks passed. Geppetto decided to begin work on his wooden boy, his little boy. Again, he was trying to find a different way to put it because it always sounded creepy when he said it. I'm going to make a small boy out of wood and then it'll be mine and all that kind of thing. So the entire idea of parenting was going through his head. It's very complicated. The idea of being caring for another being, even if it's made of wood and animated by demons even. But you still have to encounter all the challenges that come with caring for anything. And so as he carved and he started with the femur, what would be the femur, which is the thigh bone, and he did that because he wanted to establish a height. And the best way to do it proportionally is you make that femur first. It's a very large bone. And in this case, also, if you're making a puppet, it's not just the bone. You don't make a skeleton and then make wooden muscle and all. You carve it with the clothes on. And we are not made like that. That's the difference between humans and puppet boys, is that their trousers aren't part of them, the same material. This is where Luigi's fantasies about the strings have some basis, because it isn't clear what is transformed. And because Giuseppe had never met with a insect demon wizard before, he really didn't know what was involved with the animation process. So he was just working blind here. He grabbed a chisel. He carefully carved beautiful hands and all the joints and the knuckles. He grabbed another smaller chisel and began to make the clavicle bones and spent much time on the throat area and all the neck, making it slender and aesthetically pleasing. He would do the head last because he wasn't sure what features he would give to his own child. If you have to select the face of your child, how difficult that would be. Would you select an existing face? Let's say that you were an enthusiastic and joyous fan of the Three Stooges and thought, I want my little baby to look like Shemp. I want it to have a face just like Samuel Howard's face. Now, the baby might not want to go through life having the face of a middle-aged character actor. So you have to consider things like that. But then you're thinking, well, I have to look at the baby's face, and barring constant exposure to a mirror, the baby really doesn't have to look at its own face. In fact, I wonder if a baby can look in the mirror and, like other animals, even determine whether that's its own reflection or just another baby attacking it. And you'll find that sometimes the babies, if they're put together in nurseries, will slam their heads up against the glass if there's another baby in there, like a betta fish, because they're ready to fight, because babies come out combative. And it's just that they're kept separately in those little bassinets that they don't immediately get into it. But as we've been told, that's human nature. It was time. Geppetto got his head-making tools out. It's time to get to it. I must carve the head of my child. What type of eyes shall I give it? Again, do I need to make actual eyeballs, or was that be taken care of in the process? It's very similar to recording an album, and you're thinking, is this something that can be done in the mix, fixed in the mix? Can this be edited out? Is there a way to do After Effects? And so I don't even need to give the child hair. It can be given beautiful, flowing, very natural, very realistic, animated hair. I don't know. It's been so long since I've dealt with any wizards from different species. Well, not even human wizards. And just that one time, and it really wasn't a wizard. And I'll never get that jewelry back. But here's the thing. I can make this child's face into anything, thought Geppetto. I can make this child's face into anything, then said Geppetto after he had thought it. Sometimes I like to speak out loud just to know I still can, said Geppetto. Testing, testing, am I having a stroke? Am I having a stroke? Testing, testing. This is something that old people who live alone sometimes do. And he carved that head. I will give the child a normal-sized nose, he thought. I've always wanted a child that had a nose that looked average, you know, not particularly beakish, not like the snoot of a snout of a dog. Probably should have gotten a dog, like Luigi said, but here I am, I'm halfway there, 90% of the way there. I'm going to stick with making this average-nosed doll boy. Puppet boy, doll. No, but no little wooden boy wants to be called a doll. Marionette even is pushing it, I think, thought Geppetto. But here we go. And he continued to carve the head. I will make the ears slightly large because it's charming, and if it ends up being a baby who is handsome, maybe the big pitcher ears will bring it down to earth a little bit and won't be so narcissistic. I don't know if that works or not, but I thought one sort of glaring so-called defect would be, I was going to make one eye real big, but I think I'm just going to make the fun big ears. Like there's some beautiful people that have them. And so, I don't know, you don't know Tony, but he's... So Geppetto got to work and he made the ears and he made the nose and he made the mouth. Again, I don't know whether I need to make a working mouth. See, I've seen that now. I've seen there's a fellow, Ventriloquisto, his name is, and he's invented a new type of doll, and the mouth moves. But you don't, it's not a marionette. It sits on your lap, and you stick your hand up in it or something, and then you make the mouth move, and even the eyeballs go side to side. It's amazing. It looks like something that Heron of Alexandria would have designed. Just an engineering feat. And he's going around, talks out of the side of his mouth, I'm really a puppet boy, like that. And everybody is looking and says, that puppet's alive. But see, I'm going to make a puppet that is alive because I'm going to collaborate with demonic forces or something, or magic, the unseen forces of magic. I'm going to use my imagination plus something like physics
to make this, maybe it's a robot and I'm ahead of my time, but I'm going to bring this boy to life if it's the last thing I do. And he finished the puppet and he tied the strings onto the puppet. And as he was doing, he was thinking, I should have made a rod puppet. You know what I mean? The rod puppet. Just one hand on the rod. One hand goes up in it, moves the mouth. The other hand moves like the left arm. I didn't even think to do it. And here, boy, there's a lot of crime going on today in ancient Italy. And I'm here witnessing it. And it's making me reluctant to bring this young wooden boy into the world, but I shall. And he tied off the last string. And he made the crossbar that holds it up that you work the stuff with. That has the strings. The thing that always, it gets so tangled. He thought, I better hang it up now before I turn in, because if I get it, if I just leave it here, you know how the tangle ghosts are. They're going to come and they see string and they've got to, no matter how carefully you tie your cords after band practice, thought Geppetto, you've just, the next day you go back and they're, what? Who made these knots? So he hung up the boy, the mannequin, and he went to sleep. And as he slept, he heard a tiny little voice in his ear. Like that. What is that? Where is that voice coming from? Said Geppetto. I hear you, but I cannot see you. And he looked down on his pillow, and he startled, and he stood straight up because it was an earwig. Oh, God, that earwig almost crawled in my ear, thought Geppetto. I heard its little mumbling and everything. It got so close.
Calm down,
said the earwig. What?
I said calm down, said the earwig.
Are you a magical insect wizard? Said Geppetto.
Yes. That's exactly what I am, idiot. I am, I don't have a name. I'm just an earwig, and I'm here to grant you, I was going to think of one, to be honest. I'm not going to lie to you. I was going to lie to you. So I was thinking of a name, something clever. Eerie the Earwig or something like that, but forget it. I don't need a name to do my job. Now, where's this puppet boy I'm supposed to make real?
Oh, come this way, Geppetto said to the magical, enchanted earwig.
Come this way. Here he is. I made him out of wood, and I'd love you to make him sentient.
All right, let me get... Stand back. Let me have a look here.
All right. Okay, so you didn't make the mouth. It's not a ventriloquist mouth. It's just painted on there.
It's painted on, but I have a little, if you'll see, there's a little crease there. I made a little dent there.
Okay. Nose is normal size. She didn't make balls.
Balls?
Eyeballs? Oh, no, didn't make eyeballs. All right. It's not a problem. All right. Okay. Give me a second, and then we're going to go ahead and transform this puppet into a human being, and then I'll give you some scary sort of portentous warnings about what's going to transpire, because this man, this is like the world's worst. This is a genie granting your wish times 10 irony. So I hope you're up to date on your irony vaccinations, because you're going to really, you're going to go into shock. All right, we'll just make him real. All right, here goes. And with that, the earwig lifted up its hindquarters and aimed its pincers over its head and shot a green beam of light onto the little boy. And boy puppet, immediately it spasmed and coughed up blood.
What's happening?
It came alive.
My boy is alive, said Geppetto. My puppet boy has come to life. It's alive, he said.
Just then, the earwig looked him right in the eye and said, "Listen here, Frankenstein. I want to tell you something about Frankenstein. Because that's what you're doing right here is something Frankensteinian. You understand that? Prometheus? But, you see, Frankenstein was written by Mary Shelley. But that's not her father's name. You see, her father's name is Goodwin. Godwin. Is it Goodwin? Godwin. Godwin. The philosopher. Yeah, go on. Well, she was, where was I going? Frankenstein, Mary Shelley? Oh, yeah. She was surrounded by all these know-it-all men scientists who thought they could be God. You see, knew those people in real life, you know what I'm saying? The ones that thought that they alone understood science and technology and that it was the new religion and they could control the world and they knew what it was to be a human being. Yeah, them. Well, she was saying, yeah, no. Okay. So that's what I'm just saying. Good luck with making life out of nothing, because you don't really understand what it is to be alive. All right. All right. Noted. Okay. Which is the most aggressive thing that you can type as a social media response. Okay, period. And so the earwig left as quickly as it had come. Crawled under the carpet, maybe. I don't know. But then there was the boy.
"Who? Where am I?"
he said. "Well," said Geppetto, "you're in the workshop of Geppetto the Workshop Guy. That's me. And I made you here, right there on that workbench on which you're sitting."
"Oh, but I thought I was a little human boy."
"All right, now here's what I don't get. You could talk. So it seems like you're... I don't want to use this computer analogy too much, but it feels like you came out of the factory with a certain amount of information, right? So I don't know what you know and don't know. So you know what a human is. You know the words. You know you're a boy, even though I clearly gave you no genitalia. Well, I did, but then I had a... it's the wood was so brittle. And then... You have your speaking as if you have some sort of self-awareness. So I don't know what's going on, really."
"Well, okay, here's the thing. I have this idea that I am someone or something, or I have agency."
"That's a very sophisticated thing to say, boy. Go on."
"But also, I don't have any awareness of my future or my past."
"All right. And somehow I made you sound vaguely like David Lynch. I'm going to just hold right there, and I'm going to get a cotton swab and some alcohol and just clean up your mouth a little, because I think I must have gotten some lacquer or something on there."
"Oh, okay. Now, is that better?"
"Yes, you sound much more like a little boy now. And I think that's what we're going to have to do, is I'm going to have to teach you things about what it's like to be a person."
"All right. Well, what's it mean to be a person? To be alive?"
"All right. Well, here's... oh, God. Well, I don't know. It's to... well, to be alive, I guess, is to have a lot of questions and have many potential answers, and then arbitrarily selecting some of those answers and moving forward as if they were true."
"And are they?"
"Often, no."
"So, should you reassess?"
"So, yes. So, there's certain points of your life, and I'm going to go ahead. If I, God willing, I'm still there when you get to them, I will help you through that. So, yes, your middle age or something, there'll become a point, and you go, my entire puppet boy world is a lie. And then we'll have to start all over again."
"All right. So, I'm going to have learn a worldview which I will eventually realize is false and have to reject."
"Yes, but then you get to build a new false worldview."
"Excellent."
"And then, if you're lucky, you get a third time, and you go, you do one at the villages. And you can change all of your values. They're all in flux
Okay.
Well, there's another thing you could do. You could devote yourself arbitrarily to a system of thought that's already in place.
Oh, that sounds like something I might be interested in.
Well, yeah. Well, I will read you permission to speak off the record for a moment. Go ahead. I'm not sure what voice I'm doing anymore for Geppetto. And here, this is the narrator. Hey, it's Hardy.
Who are you?
I'm just the narrator. I'm breaking in for a moment because I feel like I'm causing some confusion, and I love confusion, and I use it as a flavoring, but I don't want it there when I don't want it there. So I don't know how to do the Geppetto voice, and I made a decision not to do an Italian voice, and I'll tell you why. Because I can't. So I could do an exaggerated Italian accent, and I've done it before, and it just starts being Mexican at some point. And the reason is because of that old, I think it's an old Red Sovine record. Do you remember Red Sovine? You do those like story thing, like, giddy up, go, daddy, giddy up, go. And there'd be soft country music as he's telling the sad story of a dying child, like that. And there was one where he's a Mexican person caring for, I guess, a dying child or something. And he just starts sounding exactly like Luigi, who, again, in this story that I did, Luigi sounds like William Frawley or something, but I don't know why. Oh, bless you. Something that happens on radio and does not happen in other visual mediums is that if you've got two characters speaking, they can't have similar voices. Which really always surprises me how they cast these big cartoons, because adults watch cartoons exclusively now, as you know, if you've gone to the movies. So these cartoons are cast with actors who you know instead of voice actors. So instead of people who sit around all day going, I'm the bad guy, like that, they get, I don't know, Scarlett Johansson to go, I'm the bad guy, like that. And then acting next to somebody, are you? Yes, we have the same voice, do we? Like that. And I can't tell, but thank goodness they make the different characters, their mouths move at different times to indicate which one's talking. Because if I just listen to it as a sound experience, often I cannot tell the difference between characters. Now, this also does not happen on old television. There's some television shows that I listen to sound only because I'm just trying to figure out what's going on, if I could recreate it as a radio show and just how close it is to being a radio show and not a TV show, which I think a lot of early television is like that. Dragnet is a straight-up radio show done on television, but there's no difference between how he did it on radio and I think how he does it on TV. And I'm not so sure he does this, but I bet you anything on television when he's talking about something, he says what it is, even though they're showing it on camera. I'm holding a wallet or something like that. I do believe that. And so I listen to these shows without watching, just the sound. An interesting one to do that with is The Killing of a Chinese Bookie. Just the sound, highly ambient. Not what we're used to. Hearing lots, crosstalk, loud background voices that you can actually make out what they're saying sometimes. Oh, that's real life, isn't it? Should I have made this a realistic Pinocchio? I thought about that, but then I thought, well, you know, when Pinocchio goes to the island of boys that had turned into asses, Ass Island or whatever it's called. Do you know about this? I forget what it's called. It's not Island of Lost Boys. It's not Paradise, Fantasy Island. It's not Fantasy Island, but it's like that. And they go to this place and they're lured there by, I guess, other demons. There's so many demonic forces. And these are ass demons, though, as opposed to the insect demons that created the child. And they give him cigars and gambling opportunities. And this transforms them into donkeys, which are then sold
because they're beasts of burden. And I mean, you could just, so nowadays it would be like you turn the children into cars and then sell the car and say, I think that SUV is my child. He just liked cigars. I should have told him, no, don't smoke. One of the most powerful things that I remember is Yul Brynner posthumously, I mean, he had recorded some advertisements, some public service announcements before his death as he was dying. And basically they were, I'm dead, don't smoke, like that. And I thought, wow, that's from the grave. But it's a dead man telling me, so I don't know how reliable. You know, I think if it was a living person, but it is a dead person saying don't smoke. So, I mean, why do they, maybe it's a trick. That's what I thought. So I kept smoking. I've quit since because there was a couple ads like that. You know, you think, well, it looks sort of grim. You're taking the joy out of killing myself slowly. But these are things, these voices from beyond, from the past. Oh, you know, Geppetto is about to teach Pinocchio. We're going to go back. I used to love that when I was a kid, where the host would come in. How do you like it so far? Well, now we're going to rejoin them. And it looks like Pinocchio is going to get a lesson in being a human from Geppetto. I'm sure having fun here, Geppetto. Making slime out of cornstarch and food dye. Oh, I'm glad you like it. I always enjoyed that in the future when I'm a child. And what would you like to do next? Well, maybe we could go to the park. All right, well, it's boring for me, but you're young and you could run around and, God, I'll be bored. Well, I mean, I made you to keep me company. I'm not going to lie. Could we play Pinochle? Pinochle again? All right, we'll go to the park. We'll go to the park. Whatever. Should have gotten a dog. So they went to the park. When they were at the park, Pinocchio was playing with some other children.
Hey, are you a new kid here in the neighborhood?
Said the one child, who just looked like a small adult wearing one of those newsboy hats.
Yeah, said Pinocchio. I'm new to the world. My dad just made me out of wood.
Is that right?
Said the kid.
Well, turns out we're getting a little gang together here in the neighborhood. You want to be in it?
Not until you get your second person plural local, whatever the slang is, it's straight. Are you going to go with yous or yins or, y'all? You can do y'all. This is southern Italy. All right.
Y'all want to be in a gang?
Yeah, said Pinocchio. I just want to have friends or do whatever you guys do.
All right. That's the spirit, camaraderie, loyalty. All right. You'll be here tomorrow at the same time, see? And you're going to get the initiation, see?
All right, said Pinocchio. I might have to run away from my dad.
Is that your dad? Looks like your granddaddy, your great-granddaddy, your great-great-granddad.
All right, whatever. I'm a change-of-life baby.
You don't even have a mother, do you?
I do. Her name is Chiselina.
Chiselina.
Chiselina Woodinmanson.
All right. Well, just be here tomorrow, kid.
All right.
And Pinocchio went back to Geppetto, who was sleeping with his mouth open and drooling and making a sound like he was gasping for air.
Papa, wake up,
said Geppetto. I was just having a great dream. I wish you hadn't awoke me. What is it?
Can we go home?
Sure. Yeah, let's go home now. It's late, I guess. And they went home and went to sleep. The next day, things happened in the morning. And then afterwards, Pinocchio snuck out without telling Geppetto and went to the park to meet the tough kid who had the ball cap and who was kind of iffy, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Hey, I'm here like I said I would.
Yeah, you are, kid. Now you can join the gang. First of all, we're going to meet some older fellows who are going to set us up with some cigars.
Cigars? What's that?
Ah, it's a wonderful thing that you puts in your mouth and just lights and says this about that.
The little boy said a lot of nonsense and slang that Pinocchio didn't understand, but he followed him to meet the two middle-aged fellows that for some reason were giving cigars to children, and then taking them on a boat to an island where they played pool. After a few hours, Pinocchio started to get a little scared.
I'm getting a little scared. I think maybe my father will miss me, and I should get home.
I don't know if there's any going home from here, kid, said his friend.
You're turning into an ass.
And by that time, he had already become a donkey, and he couldn't respond. Pinocchio thought back to the Bible and to Balaam and his donkey, and how the donkey had seen a vision of an angel and kept Balaam from going on from cursing the tents of Israel. How lovely that tents. And so that didn't happen. And now this donkey was keeping Pinocchio from making a terrible mistake.
I've got to get home.
Pinocchio ran and then commandeered a boat. And it was being chased, and then used the boat to leap. You know what? I think some of this is Police Academy 7 or maybe 3. But that's how he escapes. These jumping the speedboat is, this is in my head, I'm seeing this. Pinocchio is jumping over things. Buoys. I don't know how he's getting it launched, but the boat is airborne a lot, and he's getting away from the bad guys. Again, a lot of this I'm getting from the Police Academy movies. I know at least the first two were filmed in Toronto. But after that, I don't know. And the last one is in Russia. I'm almost positive. So I could correct me if I'm wrong. But if you're a Police Academy film buff, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, yes. My goodness. As Michael Winslow would say, that's a bit of an obscure one. You say, what is that supposed to be? Well, if you know, you know. So I do that with mouth sounds. Say, well, his all sound like something, like he can do a guitar, or he can make a sound like a police siren or something. But when you do mouth sounds, Hardy, I don't know what they are. Well, a lot of times they sound like things that haven't been invented yet or sounds that we're not familiar with. I mean, if you were strolling around the streets here 400, 500 years from now, you would hear this familiar sound.
Put the flowers up. Put the flowers up. Put the flowers up. Put the flowers up.
Right? Everywhere. But nowadays, not so much. And so we think in a confined way. We have only our experience and our memories aren't even an accurate and in no way complete record of what has happened to us or anybody. No memories are. They're all but shadows. They're impressions. They sort of like, it's a keeping track of information by writing down the sounds that are made. Can you imagine that? So if there was a war, we might take a recording of it and then transliterate the sounds and say, that is war. What is war? See, we might never know that way. It's a very strange thing. It's like trying to identify what a thing does by how it smells. And so all these memories and our worldview itself is only based on where we think the piece of the puzzle that we received goes, not where it goes. Have you ever been doing a jigsaw puzzle like that? And you go, I have a trouble doing them because I don't give up. Like if a piece doesn't fit exactly, I make it fit. And I just keep doing that. But it turns out that it's supposed to go together easily. And I just don't subscribe to that. I think if anything goes together easily, it can't be that satisfying. And so I take the pieces and I try to jam them together. And that is my world. And yes, it's abstract and I don't understand it. And it doesn't seem to be an indicator of anything. It's a picture of nothing. Oh my goodness, is that the way to do it? Well, that's the only way I do it because I know I'm not going to get all the pieces. And it would be very unsatisfying if I keep trying to put these things together and there's big holes in them. But see, this way, at least I'll have a complete picture of nothing. And that is what Pinocchio is. I'm making a boy. What do I teach him? Who are you? You're a thing that was created to look like me because I'm lonely, even though I'm with me. You are being welcomed into a world where all the individuals are alienated from themselves, where nobody recognizes themselves in the mirror. They look at it and they think that's an other, and they look at the other and they think that's another. Oh, are we all blind? Are we all puppets? Do we not see our own strings? Where are they connected? This is why there's chaos, because we are marionettes and our strings are connected to one another and they're tangled and they pull and push and nothing seems to go where we aim it. I had this relationship to puppets when I was a child. The marionettes frustrated me the most. They depended on gravity. And these things above them, unrigid, flexible, easily tangling things, that's what connected them to the world. That's what animated them. If those weren't intact, it was nothing. A sock puppet, my gosh, the sock puppet was just my hand made animate. It wasn't so complicated. There wasn't a lot of things to go wrong. All the working parts on a human to care for a human is to care for the most complicated of marionettes. All these strings on the inside to tangle, if you know what I mean. So much that can go wrong. And then the love. So while Pinocchio was on the island, Geppetto was at home and he finally realized that his boy was gone. And I don't want to act out how he reacted because I don't want to trigger you. I don't want you to feel those things. No one should have to. I'll just say this, that he was inconsolable, that the loss of this one he loved, no matter how worthless they may be to you, was the entire world to this poor, lonely workshopman. And so he wailed in pain, and the grief burned like flames, consumed him, but then wouldn't take him, but kept reviving him and make him face the pain. Oh, I cannot live without my little wooden boy. When I was first faced with this part of the story as a child, my soul was irrevocably damaged, as it was with many childhood stories, where I was told the real price of love. And without a good world to go under it, a world of danger and treachery lie beneath this. And the consequence? Heartbreak, isolation, loneliness. Oh, will Pinocchio not return to Geppetto? Will he not comfort his heart? I have not mentioned the lying. And I'll tell you why. Because I think it's hubris to think that this puppet is lying more than we all lie.
Why isn't Geppetto's nose growing? No one has lied more to others and themselves than the Creator. He who made the life is the greatest liar. Geppetto's nose should be the length of a distance to the nearest star. A light year of a nose that bumps in and disrupts everything as he shakes his head, yes or no, all affirmations and negations being equally false and insincere. This lying creator has made a puppet that doesn't know where it is, doesn't have enough information, relies on strings that have been cut, is living a lie of independence, is living a lie of sentience. Oh, puppet master who has made me and cut my strings as a act of liberation, you have been tricked by yourself or someone else because you have not liberated me. You have trapped me in a deep pit of freedom, in a vast void, emptiness created by infinite choice. I have nothing to stand on. All you give me is a catalog of pedestals, but no actual platform to rest. Oh, Creator.
Is that you, Pinocchio?
Yeah, I was just doing a silly voice. Oh, my boy, I'm so glad you're home.
And Geppetto embraced Pinocchio and began to cry tears. And then, as the tears hit the boy, he stopped being an animated puppet, right? Like a wooden puppet that was moving around. And he turned into a real child and immediately vacated his bowels because he'd never done that before. And it was, Geppetto was like, I wonder if it's meconium or just a regular turd. You know, because that's the thing about the created beings. Should robots poop?
Should robots poop? As read by a British movie star. Should robots poop? Every robot poops sometimes.
That is a child's book that is yet to be written. I'm giving it to you, my listeners. You're not mine. You're not my puppet. You're not my listener. You're my friend. We're friends. You're like Luigi. And we're friends. And you're frank with me. And you're honest with me. And you say, I know where your loneliness might be coming from. And what Luigi should have said to Geppetto is, what am I, chopped liver? Because he's sitting right there. You say, I'm not good enough company? What about when we play Scopa? You don't like to play Scopa anymore? Because that's how we used to spend our days. Now it's all Pinochle. And I think the only reason you said Pinochle is because Pinocchio is some kind of, it sounds similar. But you're a Scopa man, Geppetto. Here, I'm calling you. What's your last name, Geppetto?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the narrator and I don't even know.
Oh, Rossi.
Rossi?
Yeah.
Geppetto Rossi and Pinocchio Rossi.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't... That's a name. I believe you.
What's not to believe?
I understand that. Oh, my friends. Do you make puppets? Sometimes I like to speak to myself or discover myself by just talking to something that's on my hand with a face, that has a face. Not a Senor Wences kind of thing where I've drawn it right on my hand. I can't suspend my disbelief that much. It's got to look a little bit like a face. So I keep some puppets around, you know, Muppet-looking ones, the kinds, the knockoff kind that churches use, you know.
I might be a puppet, but I love Jesus.
Like that. And I don't know whether they add to the service or anything. Let's ask our puppet friend. What would you do in this situation? I'm so old, I remember when churches would discuss, like, moral choices or situations. They don't do that anymore. But they'd give you, say, like, what would you do here if somebody lost their coat, you know? And it used to be they'd say, well, you try to find them to get their coat back. But that's we know now that that's all wrong. So I don't think they do that anymore. But isn't that quaint? Now they'll tell you, like, where do I sell the coat? How do I get it sold fast? And a thing called plausible deniability. How can I say, no, I did not see the coat? And you're counting your money. That's beautiful. Hey, who wants you to prosper? Your creator. Really? Then why was I not given a flesh wallet? What? If I was meant to have money, why don't I have like a pouch, like a kangaroo or something, and where I keep my money and my credit cards, you know, like a pouch on my stomach, and it folds out, and there's little places to put your cards or even pictures of your family. There's little clear, it's flesh, but it's clear, so you can stick a picture in there, and it's just built in. That's if I was meant to have money, that's what I have. That's what I would have, is I'd have to have a fleshy wallet, flesh wallet, hanging from me. But I don't. And so I don't think I'm meant to have it. Same with clothes. I wear clothes when I have to. And I don't get any joy not wearing them sometimes because it's cold. But there's situations that I don't wear them. Bathing. I know not everybody's like that, but there's some things I do completely unclothed, bathe. Sometimes sleeping. Like, let's say you're at a big naked drug orgy and you take too much, so you sleep. You might sleep nude. What are some other things? If it's warm and I'm making puppets, sometimes I'll just wear a leather loin thing. You know, what do you call them? Why can't I think of the apron? Oh, my goodness. A leather apron. Here I am. Here I am, a Freemason, and I can't remember the words leather apron. I am not a Freemason, by the way. I didn't want to steal my valor. I'm not any kind of stolen valor. It's so wonderful being not valorous because people can never say, oh, your valor is stolen. I don't have any valor. You can see that clearly. So I'm not lying about, if I have any valor, I would lie about having it. So that's the kind of person I am. If I were ever special forces, I wouldn't even tell anybody. I'd be like, no, they won't. I don't know. What's that going to tell you about me? Nothing I want you to know. That's the thing. When we say things about ourselves, I'm actually made of wood. I am a puppet. I am so lonely I could make a puppet. When we say those things about ourselves, we say them because we do expect a result. I'm just saying. There's no just saying. There's no just saying. When people say, I'm just saying, that's the opposite. You know they mean the opposite of that. I'm just saying. You're not just saying. You're saying because you want it to have an effect. And I do the same thing. Oh, everything I say, I've had to think so much about why I say things. Not just what I say, but why I say it. To whom I might be saying it, and what my expectations are, because there's always expectations. It's language. I'm using it because I am expecting some result. Right? So, you know, what do you say? I was just in Illinois, and they, they say, like, you go, I-L-I or something. They say, I-N-I, you know, they do the other half of it. So you shout out something and you expect a response, right? So you might say, if you were ever in the Andy Griffith Show fan club, you might say, Goober says, hey to Goober is the response to that. So you would say, Goober says, hey, the response is hey to Goober. Well, every time we speak, we say, Goober says, hey. We really do expect something for it to go out there. If it's an insult, a compliment, or we wouldn't say it. Sometimes I say things and I don't know what's going to happen. And that is a little dangerous and maybe even inconsiderate. because it's like saying, well, I'm going to set off a stink bomb in this restaurant and see how people react. Well, it might not be great. And you might not be really spreading love. So, and I realized that even when I'm trying to do good, I said, well, I have this thought. I have an idea. I have something worth saying, and so I'm going to go on the radio and say it to people, and the evidence will be that they write me and they say, I have been transformed by your words. You said something that I did not know, and now that persistent gravy stain in my favorite dress can be eliminated because you are the one that told me about the club soda trick. I know now the club soda trick and am liberated. Thank you. I owe you. Well, you don't have to owe me. It's enough that I am Hardy White. Oh, boy. I was watching, rewatching Killing of a Chinese Bookie again, and Cosmo at some point sitting in that limousine, and he's on his way to pick up his three dates for the his horrible gambling appointment. And, he's in the back of it, and he says something like, I'm amazing, or something like that. Just so wonderfully self-satisfied right at that moment. And knowing that it's a tragedy that ever descends into hellishness is wonderfully tasty at that point. And I think of myself, so self-satisfied. Yeah. I'm saying things on the radio. People are listening to my voice. That's it. I must be saying something. Must be pretty clever. I must be Geppetto, creator of life, animator, artist, liberator. That's it. But I'm not. Oh, my goodness, I'm not. I'm just a lump of wood left on somebody's workbench, reaching out my little hand, saying, won't you connect with me and give my life meaning? Its only meaning is relative to you, my friend, and others. It's nothing. There's nothing going on over here without you. Hardy White goes on a shelf all week, and then we're together. Then we're something. That's when we're alive. Otherwise, I just go back into the case. There is no more of a puppet than your humble narrator. I am hung up. Motionless. Without thinking. No mind. Wu Wei, the uncarved block, am I. Until I am given meaning by our experience together. And that is something that I don't understand, and I am not going to try to understand. But the feeling I have in the presence of others, and the feeling I have when you direct your energy to me and I to you, is something that, well, if there's any meaning at all, that's it. Even though I can't describe it, even though I don't have a name for it. You say, what's the meaning? And I just look at you. I look at you baffled, and somehow that's the answer. It lies between the words. It lies within the puppets. It's trapped there, and we'll never see it. It's always hidden from us. And we only see its shadows, but they put on the best show, don't they? Oh, my gosh. I'd be so alone if it wasn't for you. I'd be so alone. I'm so glad that we're able to share this together. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide, freeform radio, the way you sum the ding da dun da bum. Thank you for listening, my friends, and I'll see you again next week.
was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' name was Ebony.
Straight out, I got something to prove, and
I want to.
I bet there's something I can show you.
Is it for me?
The trouble is, I don't know how to say, can't wait no longer.
Hold me, I like the way you.
Chance, I'll show you.
Show you. Show you. I want to. What can I do, girl, to show you?
Yeah.
I want to. What can I do, girl, to show you?
What's the matter?
Spending.
Have you ever?
I know the feeling. Hold me, I like the way you.
Give me the chance.
Give me the chance.
Give me the chance.
Give me.
soul.